Come to next newcomer to your story, but I've heard this story before. It is fucking great. Sorry to oversell you, Mark Wolb.
Yeah!
Hi, thanks for having me. Is there anybody here who's French?
I'm sorry.
For what I'm about to do. So I just want to start real quick with, this isn't a Bible, this is a book on French history. I enjoy it because they're so bad at making it. So it starts talking about French military theory, and they preached the offensive à outrance, which means you just go on the offensive no matter what. And corollary to this was the teaching that the French soldier was inherently superior to the German in fighting qualities. His élan was something especially French. His excitable Gallic temperament was peculiarly fitted to take the offensive. There was a spirit called Furia Française. It could be invincible. The taking of the offensive with French fury would more than offset the German army's superior numbers, equipment, and tactics. So I'm on a plane from Paris to Washington, D.C.'s Dulles International Airport, and I'm sitting in row 40. Of 42 rows on a double, on a 777. And I'm in like the first aisle seat in the middle. You know, so I'm just sitting there and I'm watching V for Vendetta. It's like 2006. And I'm watching V for Vendetta on the thing because there's nothing else to do on this flight and got on board. But then I notice all the way up, because I'm way in the back, I notice up here in the division, you know, between us cattle and business class, which would be human class, and then there's superhuman class, the X-Men class, maybe. And I'm in cattle like sex worker to America class. So I'm just following the theme. I'm just following those who've paved the road for me. So I noticed that up here in the galleyway, or you know where the lavatories are, there's a little commotion, you know, and so I kind of, I'm bored, so even for Vendetta I've seen it. So I look, and you know, there's this little guy, he's about, you know, 5'9"-ish, and he's arguing with a stewardess. Okay, yeah. Let's go back to watching the movie, and then I notice people are moving around me, but you know, V for Vendetta, whatever. So we're watching that. And then I noticed that, here comes this little guy escorted by a stewardess. And he's put in row 42, the very last row, over here in the corner. And so, you know, that's fine. And then another movie comes on, and it's Miranda Priestley, help me out.
Shawshank Redemption.
Meryl Streep. The Devil Wears Prada. So I'm watching The Devil Wears Prada, and it's actually hurting my soul. Because I'm flying back from a vacation back to work in Washington, D.C., where I worked for the Miranda Priestley of higher education. And so, right, I know, right? So I'm just like, oh God, this is the life I'm returning to. I turn back and I notice, you know, I'm kind of looking around, just looking for something to kind of, you know, enlighten my life. And I notice our little friend back here, he's got this little backpack, and he's, you know, you know, and he's getting trashed on this bottle of booze that he has snuck in his backpack. I don't know how he did it. I'm just like, I wish I had that, because this is just hurting. And then he's taking more and more, and so a stewardess notices from the back galley, you know, and she's back here kind of like, so she disappears. And then I start to hear, and I look, and here comes a very big, angry man in a uniform. And it's the pilot, and he's not very happy. So he tries to talk to our Frenchman who's French, and who apparently isn't interested in speaking English. So the stewardess is having to translate, and they confiscate the bottle, and he's told not to F up anymore, or he's off the plane. Which I don't really know what that means, because
push him out.
Right, we're over the Atlantic. I mean, you know, we're not going to put him on the airlock or anything. So he goes back up. I continue watching this terrible, soul-sucking movie. And then I start looking around again, and he's digging in his backpack again. What the hell is this guy doing? He pulls up. He's actually rolling a cigarette.
He rolls a cigarette, and I'm like, what good is that gonna do? And then he pulls out a lighter. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And he lights his lighter, and the stewardess is like, and she runs out and snatches the cigarette and runs back. Take the lighter! The cigarette. So he stands up and yells, Aputon! You know? And he sits back down, he's angry, he's trashed, and he's rolling another cigarette. So I hear. And I look and I'm like, oh, he looks angry. That's a big guy. So he's coming, and Frenchie sees him, and he stands up, Furia Francesa, right? And he winds up, and boom! And he hits my pilot! And the pilot goes down! And I'm like... Nobody hits my pilot on my airplane! I'm sorry! Now, to be fair, I'm 100% German. All right, that whole 1914, 1918 thing, I'm still a little... Brandon, we got our revenge in 40, but I'm still a little... June 18th, 1940. You got it. But I'm a little, you know, so... I stand up, and I hop into the aisle, and there he is. Now, I have a little bit of fighting training, so, you know... A little, you know, so he looks at me, and I look at him, and I realize it's Furia Francesa against... a better armed, better equipped, and better trained German force. So, right, here we go. Long story short, we end up in the middle seats, and we're having to fight around, and he's bleeding from an eyeball or an eyebrow, and he's bleeding from the mouth, and the stewardess is there with duct tape, and my belt is wrapped around his legs, he's handcuffed from behind.
Oh my.
He is, it's a mess. I mean, it's a mess. But fortunately, someone has finally come to my aid, as well as the pilot is finally up. And so the pilot's sitting on his legs, and I'm kind of up by his head, like, you know, holding him there. Someone else is in the middle, and he's still screaming. He's still screaming. He's still screaming. So we duct tape his mouth shut, right? What would you have done, right? He's upsetting everyone else. This is a full plane. So, we duct tape his mouth shut. But he's bleeding so much, he's able to actually work the tape down and continue screaming, right? So, so we eventually, I'm basically holding him. I'm standing. The plane is coming in for Dulles. We were, like, in between, like, Dulles and, like, Philadelphia, which are, like, the two airports that could take a 777. So, we didn't divert, but we come in, and it's a pretty hard landing because, you know, we're in a hurry. And so, we land the plane. Boom, boom, right? And plane rolls in, and we get to the gate, and everybody's trying to gawk and everything, you know. So on comes the airport police, the customs police, guys in suits, and a medic. And their first job is getting everybody off the plane, We're still holding them, right? Now, the airport police come back. Now, these aren't the, you know, the TSA. These are the don't fuck with us squad, right? Because they're like big, big, angry men. And they come in, and this guy, you know, he's duct taped, and he's handcuffed, and his legs are thin, his legs are all belted and duct taped. He's not moving, he's a mummy. And so they reach up, and they grab him, and they pick him up like this, basically. They basically stand him up all the way over and back down like this. And they're holding him just above the floor. And so the medic grabs him by the hair, looks at his face, he's gonna need stitches. They let his head go, and they drop him in the aisle. Don't fuck with us. So one of the guys in the suits is there, and he looks at me, and I'm basically wearing this. And he says, well, you guys are dressed pretty casual, aren't you? Well, what do you mean? Well, you're a marshal, aren't you? No, sir, I'm a grant writer. So he says, okay, so all right, fine. Well, so he starts talking to us, one of the guys in the suit starts talking to us. And meanwhile, they're looking for this guy's documentation, right? So they go through his bag, and it's not there. Pull it out. Oh, it's a passeport de service. Oh, fuck, that's a diplomatic passport. Oh.
So immediately the guys in the suits identify themselves as FBI. Oh, please come over here. And then the other guy's over there. The pilot's over there. We're interviewed, 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 interviewed. And everything's fine. You just beat up a French diplomat. So. Yeah. So. Well, at this point, you know, I'm nervous about a lot of different things. Not the least of which is my friend Shona, who is waiting for me to come out of the airport, right? And Shona's she's a very angry woman, and on a good day, and she's had to fight traffic from Maryland to Dulles to pick me up, and she's having to wait, you know, 2.5 hours while I'm interviewed by 3 different FBI agents, and you know, give a statement, and then. You know, and by the way, I've got blood on me, so now I have to be, like, you know, cleaned up and everything, and finally get out, finally get my luggage. Customs actually went through my baggage. I'm like, guys, come on! Toss me a solid for one thing. And no, anyway, get out, finally get to Shona, she's waiting there. So I tell her the story. She's like, oh my god, that's amazing. She's like, that's like what you're bred for. You're German, and you beat up a French diplomat. And then she says, but how you gotta feel depressed? Like, what do you mean? This is the most awesome thing I have ever done in my entire life. She's like, exactly. It's all downhill from here.
I've been asking Mark to tell that story for like a year on the podcast. Thank